Welcome, everybody. It's Rob Zacarias, Rob Zacarias. Yo, we are back for another exciting week of broad. I don't know. I guess you could say we're broadcasting, right? Podcasting. We are podcasters. But we are here. Had a fascinating weekend. I'm debating if I should discuss this with you right now because it's lighthearted. It's not serious. And there was a bunch of serious things over the weekend. And by going lighthearted, it could be a distraction. And I know some of you don't like when I get lighthearted. You don't like when I get too personal. You want to know about politics. You want to know about Pakistani mercy killings. By the way, if you haven't checked the new article out, go check it out over at therobzacariasshow.com. Check it out. It's pretty wild. Totally forgot about it. And then I read it and I was like, wow, that was good. That was good radio. That was good podcasting. And the pictures are pretty horrific. My writer producer always seems to find the most graphic and poignant pictures. He's good at that. But check it out. So, do I go lighthearted in the beginning, or do I just dive right in to the unrest? The question of the day being peaceful protesting. Keep hearing that. Peaceful protest, as they throw rocks and bottles and fireworks at police officers and block freeways. Doesn't sound peaceful. Does not sound peaceful, but the media has their marching orders, and that is peaceful protests. Call it peaceful. That's what you need to say, peaceful. No matter what station you tune into, they describe whatever's going on as peaceful. That's the word. It's kind of like undocumented worker. You have to say undocumented. Do we dive in? Okay, let's just a smidgen of lightheartedness. Just a smidgen. Just a little taste. I won't spend too much time. I'm going to look at the time clock. Okay, I'm going to look at the time clock. And I'm going to be quick, all right? I'm going to be quick. This past weekend was my girlfriend's birthday. Yes, young Cat Howe had a birthday. She turned 27 years old. Yes, she is 27 years old. 27 years old. And at the, not spur of the moment per se, but it wasn't necessarily planned weeks and weeks and weeks in advance. We decided to go to Vegas for her birthday. Always try to do something special for her birthday. We've been together now since 2013, so trying to be a better person this time around in my next life than I was before. Not that I was bad in my past life, but try to make more of an effort, learn from mistakes, so forth and so on. Anyways, we go to Vegas, and not just, oh, let's go to Vegas and wander around casinos. No. I planned something special. So I got tickets for us to go see David Copperfield. Yes, David Copperfield, the king of magic himself. So we have seats that are not at the front, but not at the back. They're in the middle because these are pricey seats, my friends. It's not cheap to go see Mr. Copperfield for the nosebleed seats in the back. Talking about $85 a piece. It's not a huge arena. It only sits about 800 people. It's like a miniature theater. And it's done that way because you want to be close to the magic. You don't want it to be too far because then it's like watching Chris Angel on TV or something. So I don't want to sit in the nosebleeds. I want to sit close, but I don't want to pay $225 for a ticket. So we're in the middle. So split the difference, $80, $225. There we are in the middle. Okay? Now, when I bought the tickets, I didn't say it was for a birthday. It wasn't for a special occasion. I didn't tell anybody any of these things. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Nobody knew anything. It was just an old, creepy-looking dude with a young, hot chick. You know, maybe some people were like, oh, isn't that nice? The dad's taking his adult daughter to see David Copperfield. Who knows? But we get ready to go see Copperfield. It's about 8:30, and I forgot that the UFC fights were on. I did. I totally forgot. I forgot that Brock Lesnar was making his return to Gon. So I walk by the sports book, and I see that Lesnar is the underdog. Now, I'm not a big UFC watcher, but I do know that Brock Lesnar being the underdog is kind of strange. And I tell Catherine, I said, hey, let's throw a couple dollars on the Beast Incarnate. Let's go put a couple bucks on there. So I go over to the window, and I put $50 down on Brock Lesnar to win. Put down 50 to win 55 or 60. Actually, I think it was 60. 50 to win 60. So I get that ticket. And now it's about time to go see the amazing Copperfield. So I got a drink. It's vodka and tonic. Yes, I did. I partaked in some spirits. You know what they call it? Spirits. We go, we get our seats, and it's in the middle, like I said, on a cushioned bench, I guess is the best way to explain it. Meaning we had a wall behind us with cushion, and then a bench, like a seat, because it was this bench ran across, people sat on this bench, and then we had like a table in front of us where you put your drinks on. So we were seats 3 and 4 and a couple next to us from Sweden. Everybody in this theater was from a different country. Everybody was there on vacation. This couple from Sweden were there for a week. Think about that. A week in Vegas. A week. 2 days in Vegas and I'm done. 2 days. And I'm like, all right, I've had it. But we're from LA, so we go to Vegas, I don't know, once a month, twice a month. I mean, it's only a 4-hour drive, so what do we know? Foreigners, that's the greatest thing in the world. The street, the lights, the booze, the women, the booze, the women, the lights, the food. Anyways, sitting there at the table, I got my drink. I'm drinking my vodka tonic. Catherine's to the left of me. The Swedes are to the left of her. And I got two other foreigners to the right of me, but I didn't engage in conversation with them because I don't like to engage in conversation with foreigners or Americans for that matter. If I don't know you, I don't want to talk to you. And if you talk to me, I give the illusion that I'm not that into it. So I don't get engaged in stranger conversation a lot. So Copperfield comes out. He does his magic. And I'm not going to tell you the tricks because I'm not going to ruin the experience. If you would like to go see Copperfield, I'm not going to tell you everything that he does. But I will say, even at 60 years old, and the era of Copperfield making the Statue of Liberty disappear and walking through the Great Wall of China, his stuff is still amazing. Even in the age of Chris Angel and David Blaine and just the way magic is now, where it's edgy and rock starish, and the whole Copperfield Doug Henning era is kind of past its time. You do kind of watch it going, I get why the new guys are where they are and who they are, because there's a element of age difference. I get it. But nonetheless, the magic and the illusions were phenomenal. I mean, cars appearing, cars disappearing, people appearing, people I mean, again, you know, we're not talking about voodoo stuff. You know, we're not talking about spirit stuff, but still, you sit there and go, how the F did he do that? How did he just make that person that literally was 6 feet away from me disappear and then appear on the damn stage? How did he do that? I know that person didn't disintegrate and get inside a machine. You know, I know that didn't happen. I'm not going to be like a black person watching a David Blaine trick on a street. They're like, oh my God! Oh my God! You've all seen that. You've all seen a black person lose their minds when they see David Blaine do a trick. Blaine's like, so pick a card. Pick any of these cards. And the black kid's like, it's like, he's like afraid. He's like, ooh, should I pick that? I don't want. And then he picks the card and Blaine's like, all right, put it back in the thing. All right. Okay, here we go. Check your back right pocket. And the black kid takes it out. He goes, is that your card? He goes, wah! He starts freaking out. He like just loses it. Like just wah! And if he's there with his friends, they're like high-fiving each other. And they're like, you're the voodoo man. You're the voodoo man. they start running up to other people that are watching. You know what he did? He put the card in my back by 8 foot. Oh, my God. He's the voodoo man. So I wasn't doing that. Like, I get that it's a trick. But there was a couple times that I did do the voodoo man inside. So throughout the night, I think it's about a 2-hour show. I kind of got lost in the whole experience. But what he would do is he would have like these frisbees, or he would have balls, not balls, but like gold balls. And he would throw a ball to an audience member and then tell that audience member to turn around and throw the ball or throw the frisbee. And then people would catch the frisbee or catch the ball. And that is how they would go on stage and participate in certain tricks. So it was very random. There was no, oh, you come on stage. So people would go, oh, that's a plant. When you're throwing frisbees and you're throwing balls, there's no way to do the plant thing, because literally Copperfield would throw a frisbee out into the audience. Somebody would catch it. And then Copperfield would say, stand up, stand up, stand up. All right, now throw the frisbee behind you. And then the person would throw it, and then another person would catch it. And then he would go, okay, you, what's your name? What's your name? What's your name? And then do the whole shtick. And he does some comedy in the shtick with what's your name, so forth and so on. And it's, again, pretty good. Pretty good for a guy that's been doing it for 30 plus years and literally is the king. I mean, he's like the, you know, you have Houdini, and then you have Henning and Copperfield. And of course, Henning's gone. So Copperfield is really the last of the magicians that kind of started it all in the age of television and so forth and so on. So frisbees are going out, balls are going everywhere. Now, here's the part of the I'm a black person picking cards for David Blaine, and he's blowing my mind. All right, here's that part. So now we're getting to the end of the show, and it's his big illusion involving a little alien. That's all I'm going to say. Because if I go into the trick, it'll ruin it for you if you want to go see it. But it involves an alien. So this is the big grand finale. It really is. It's the big one. It involves an alien. It involves his father who's dead. It's huge. All right? It's huge. So now he starts to introduce the trick, and the curtains open, and that aspect of the trick is now in place, you know, the stage props and so forth and so on. So he takes out the gold ball and starts throwing it around. So he throws it to one guy and tells the guy, now stand up, stand up, stand up. And the guy throws it. And then it goes to another person, and he goes, all right, now, stand up, now, turn around and just throw the ball. So the guy throws it from behind, meaning he's not facing us or that end of the crowd. He just lofts it over his head, and it's like slow motion, literally like slow motion, like a Nolan Ryan curveball. Watch this ball, and it's, I don't know, 50 feet away, go from his hand and then kind of turn and now start coming directly for me. It hits the glass where I had the vodka and tonic in it, and now it's just a glass full of ice because I already drank the vodka and tonic. The ice in the glass hit me, and then the ball lands directly in Catherine's hands. And he goes, stand up, stand up. She stands up, and he goes, what's your name? And she goes, Catherine. And he goes, come up here. And I'm like, I am the black guy that just saw a David Blaine trick. I am like, oh, my God. I mean, just think about that, you guys. I couldn't have orchestrated that if I tried. I couldn't have said, all right, it's my girlfriend's birthday. She's pregnant. I want to make this special. I'm going to take her to Vegas. I'm going to take her to see David Copperfield. She's never seen a magic show. She's never seen She's never seen anything like this. I'm going to get tickets in the middle of the arena, right? Like smack dab in the middle. And then I'm going to orchestrate that she becomes part of the show, and not just any part, but the grand finale illusion, the money shot. I'm going to make it where she gets picked to go on stage. Yes. If I said that, you would say, A, you're nuts. B, if you think that's going to happen, you should also play the lottery numbers, because it's not going to happen. You can't plan that. It's impossible. Ladies and gentlemen, the impossible happened. I was the black guy that just did a magic trick with David Blaine, because I'm watching Catherine with this gold ball in her hand get ushered up on stage. I kid you not. And I'm just, I am, it's like an outer body experience. It really was. I'm just sitting there, and I got my hand, my left hand on my face. My mouth is just literally wide open, because I'm sitting there saying, this is incredible. Not, again, going on stage or she's part of the show, but that it's her birthday. And how do you make someone's birthday special? Like, how do you just make it that 10? How do you make it that 15? Oh, it's your birthday. We're going to take you to go see Cirque du Soleil, or we're going to take you to see Penn and Teller and go to dinner. Okay, now that's an awesome birthday. But then you're in the show. Like, that's the ultimate. You know, you go to see Beyonce. You take someone for their birthday. Oh, it's your birthday. We're going. All of a sudden, Beyonce in the middle of the show goes, we have someone here that's celebrating a birthday. I'd like to sing happy birthday, Catherine. I mean, it's that, like, wow. And so I'm sitting there with my hand on my face going, this is magic. It's magic. I don't care what happens on stage. I don't, it doesn't matter. It was magic that ball curved. Guy threw it. Just a random dude who got the ball came, hit a glass, covered me in ice, and landed in Catherine's hands on her birthday. Come on now, guys, come on. So I'm like in another body. I'm outside. I'm outside my body. She goes up on stage. Copperfield meets her at the stage. You know, they usher her up. He grabs her by her hand, and now she's on stage with Copperfield. They're hand in hand, and he's doing the shtick. So what is your name? Catherine. Whoa, you have this wonderful dress on, and she's got this flowery dress, and it's kind of a low cut, well, short with on her leg, so you can't see her butt, but it's short, not in a gross way where you're like, look at that slut, but it's in a way where you're like, wow, that girl's hot. And then the top, she has no bra on, so it's one of those tops where you wear it loose. Again, not slutty. And she even put these little pasty things over her nips so they didn't get hard and poke through the dress. I kid you not. So you can't see their nips. She's covered that. You can see like side boob, which is very attractive. So she's on stage and he's nice dress. And it's like a whole like, oh, wow, you couldn't have planned this better. Here's this 27-year-old hot chick glowing. So he's like, what's your name? Catherine. So now tell me, Catherine, pick where would you like to go? So the whole trick is about time travel and so forth and so on. And he's got a card written before the trick started. Eddie hung up. And so you see this card and it hanging up, and he sets it up by saying we're going to travel through time and there's going to be things written on the card and then we're going to go back in time and so forth and so on. So that card has been on this pole hanging up before Catherine got on stage. So now she is saying, my name is Catherine. And he's like, where do you want to go if you could travel in the future? Where would you go next year? She goes, oh, I would like to go to Italy. And he's like, who would you go with? And she's like, my boyfriend, Rob. And, okay. And so forth and so on. Back and forth. Okay, great. Now, going over into that area, and he goes, now, I want you to write down a name. Write down a name of a celebrity. Who you're thinking about? Who is a celebrity you're thinking about? So then she goes, and she writes the name. You don't see it. She comes back. He grabs her by the hand. And they start doing the time travel, the alien, the whole thing, the kitten, the caboodle, the boom, the bang, the boom. And all of a sudden he goes, were you thinking about Elvis Presley? Did you write Elvis Presley down? So all of a sudden they bring the easel out where she wrote it down. She goes, yes. And they turn around and it's Elvis Presley. She wrote Elvis Presley down. And he's like, okay, now we traveled in time and this and that and blah, blah, blah. And they take the picture down that's been hanging on this pole. They turn the poster over, and it's a picture of Elvis Presley. And in the poster, I kid you not, it says, on this such and such day, Catherine will be at a David Copperfield show for her birthday, where she will go on stage talk about wanting to go to Italy with her boyfriend, Rob. And it just lists everything that we just saw. And that effing paper in this graphic was on this board at the beginning of the gimmick before she even walked on stage. And again, I'm just sitting there with my mouth still open. And the crowd's like, like, wah, wah. And he's showing everybody. And he goes, oh, and this is that, and that's it. Everybody starts clapping. He takes out a pen. He autographs it, gives it to her. He goes, everybody, it's Catherine. And then she walks off stage. And then that evolves into the end of the alien time travel bit. Because it was like a 15-minute bit. So Catherine is the participant in the time travel part of the bit, and then it goes in to the end, still standing there or sitting there with my mouth hung open. And then I see Catherine emerging from the back area to come and sit down, and she's like, are you all right? And I go, I can't move. I go, I'm the black guy that just got a trick done from David Mullane, and I've been freaking out to all my friends talking about voodoo. And she goes, we get to meet him after the show. And I'm like, get out of here. I go, come on. So now the show ends. They come and grab us, and we go backstage. And here comes Copperfield. He's like, hey, guys, how are you? Did you like the show? And I'm like, I seen you make the Statue of Liberty disappear when I was like 10 years old. He started laughing. He said, come on, let's get a picture. So we all get a group picture. And then I bounce out and I go, oh, just you guys take a picture too. So then Catherine takes a picture, and he goes, okay, see you guys later. Hope you, I'm glad you guys love the show. Okay, goodbye. And Catherine goes, are you all right? I go, you don't understand. I go, you don't understand. It's not meeting Copperfield. I go, that, you know, that's cool, but I mean, I'm, you know, it's David Copperfield. I go, it's not meeting Copperfield. It's not even just as a whole, you going on stage. I go, it's the fact that it's your birthday, that this happened on your birthday. If it wasn't your birthday, it's only half amazing. It's only half impactful. If this was a month from now and it happened, it's a cool story. You tell people the story. Wow, cool. You got to go on stage. You do the grand finale of the trick. You got to meet Copperfield backstage. Wow, awesome. I go, but it's your birthday. How does somebody make their birthday the most memorable birthday in the history of birthdays? How do you do that? We did it. How? I go, we got to go play the lottery. And then I remember I got my gambling ticket. And I go to her, you know, what if Lesnar won? So the first person I see, I go, yo, bro, did Brock Lesnar win? He goes, oh, yeah, Lesnar won. Decision. I'm like, oh, my God. I go, oh, how does this happen? I go, the luck gods were with us. I go to the window, the line a mile long. And the whole time I keep going to her, we got to go, like, play the number. We got to just do something. I go, how do we keep this luck? How do we keep it going? How do we do it? Get to the window. I cash my ticket. The Lesnar win paid for my cab ride. I calculate. I go, Captain, do you realize the cab ride too? Because we stayed at where the hell did we stay? Over at the down at the other end, like the Stratosphere, with the rides, you know, the roller coaster, cool things like that. So you can't walk to the MGM Grand. All right, you can't walk to the MGM Grand. So the cab ride cost like $8. So I told her, I go, do you realize? I go, do you realize that Lesnar paid for the cab ride? So Lesnar paid for the cab ride. and the two drinks. I go, this can't get any better. So then we walked the strip back and then caught a cab at Caesar's Palace, dropped us off, got some French fries at the 24-hour diner, and then went to bed. And from the time we left MGM Grand and when I cashed the ticket, I did not stop talking about the luck of going on stage, being part of a trick, and meeting David Copperfield. Because now, like I told her, forever, unless I can duplicate something as cool next year and the year after and the year after that. And I'm not saying I can't. I don't want to, you know, I don't want the girl to think that this is it. She's 27 years old and she lives for another 50 years. Every birthday is going to suck and it was only going to be good. I want to hope that, you know, I can duplicate that. Maybe not next year. You know, maybe I can't do 2 years in a row of greatness. You know, I don't know. But right now, that birthday is definitely the best birthday she's had in the past 27 years. She even said that. I don't think she's BSing. Prior to that, we were eating. And I go, what was your best birthday before this? She goes, when I was 12 years old, I went to go see NSYNC. They did my mom took me to see NSYNC. I had, no, I and this is how she goes, no, I saw NSYNC the year after. The best, okay, this was the best one. We had his birthday, no, I didn't, and I'm like, what is, she goes, it was just so long ago, but okay, I remember now. It was NSYNC. I seen NSYNC. No, that was the year after. Okay. I had a big birthday party, and my parents put my face on the cake, and I'm thinking, oh, gee, cliche of the millennial generation. Parents put their faces on their birthday cakes. Okay, continue. My face was on the cake, and it was held at the Starlight Rolling Rink in Fort Worth, Texas. And about 43 of my friends were there, and we roller skated, and I got all these presents. And that was and most fun birthday I ever had. And then I did NSYNC the next year. And I go, well, I'm hoping tonight we'll beat that. I go, it's magic. We're in Vegas. You're with me. He goes, oh, baby, this is going to be great. This is, I'm so excited. And what happens? We go there. She gets picked by Copperfield to go on stage, do grand finale trick, and then meets Copperfield. We get done. Lesnar wins. We get in the cab. She goes, this was the best birthday I ever had. I can't believe it. I go, man. I go, I should have just said, I planned this. She started laughing. I go, I should have just said, I planned this. As we were walking, I should have said, see, I planned this. What do you think of that? But I didn't. I couldn't. I was too much in shock. I was too much of the black guy. I was too much of the black guy that just saw a David Blaine trick and was running around the street going, voodoo, man, voodoo. All right, there you go, guys. There's my lighthearted story. I know it's not throwing rocks at cops, shutting down the freeways. Well, we're going to get to that. Yes, we are. We're going to get to that. But I had to share this story with someone, and you guys are the first ones. Nobody else knows about this story. We got back yesterday. This happened Saturday. I didn't... text this. I didn't hit a bunch of people. I mean, how do you text the story? And I told Catherine, I said, I'm going to talk about it on the show. I go, I'm pretty sure I'm going to talk about it on the show. I go, it's not rock throwing or genital mutilation, but I go, I'll have to work at it. So that's it. You guys are the first to get the Copperfield story. If you didn't like that story, F you. Okay, if you're one of my my Twitter people, one of my Twitter guys, what's his name? I'm gonna tell you what his name is. He's a little prick too. If you're him, then you probably didn't like the story. If I could find him, oh, Alexander Farvella, this little prick says he's from Tokyo, but who knows? But he's a little prick, and he probably didn't like the story. He did. He probably didn't like the story. So, Alexander, if you didn't like the story, F you, you little prick. It's Rob Zicari Show. We'll be right back, and then we're going to talk about throwing rocks at cops. 405, shut down.